Very happy to be talking with you today. This was quite impromptu. This is over a Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we were having a great conversation and getting just a little bit into it, and I thought we have to get this on record for the world's sake, for also maybe my children's sake, for them to hear this in a few years. I'm very pleased, and I don't want to use this to roll out as much gusto as the typical episode, but I'm very happy and honored to welcome my listeners to Janie Wigley, my mother. Thank you for being here on the podcast.
Thank you, Danny.
Now, what we were talking about, I don't know how we got to my early years or your early years as a mother in Chicago, specifically Wilmette. And I think you were saying you wish that we had had an opportunity to just stay there for a long time.
Yes, Wilmette was absolutely wonderful. We had lived in downtown Chicago in a building called Outer Drive East when all three boys were born. And they were, I had three under three, so it was kind of hairy. We lived on the 32nd floor of Outer Drive East, which is on the, what used to be the S-curve, which I think they've straightened it out now. But anyway, we lived on the 32nd floor, and one of my most vivid memories is we had just brought Daniel home. My husband had to go out of town, so I was alone with a one-year-old and a newborn. And it was extremely windy, and there was a thunderstorm coming up. And I went out onto our balcony to get the Weber grill, because if I didn't get the Weber grill, it would have flown off the balcony. So I go out onto the balcony, and my one-year-old son locked the door, and my newborn was in a cradle, and I could see him in the living room, and I couldn't get back in, and it was starting to lightning and rain. And so I eventually was able to get Robert, the older one, to understand to push the button down, kind of like put the candle back. So anyway, I got in and no harm was done, except I was wet and terrified that I was going to be struck by lightning or that Robert was going to kill his little brother.
Mom, you know, people talk about having, and this is quite common, I'm glad this is actually more out in the open, anxiety and panic attacks. Can you tell me the level? Was this on a scale of 1 to 10? Certainly it's up there at 8, 9, 10. Is this more like 11 or 12?
I'd say it would be up around 50. Because you have, just think about it, a 12-month-old who's just learned to walk and a tiny newborn, well, not tiny, he was 9 pounds, 6 ounces, so he was a hunk, laying in the cradle, and mommy is stuck out on the balcony. So what is the one-year-old going to do to the newborn? And it was rather terrifying and anxiety-inducing, and there was no way to yell to my next-door neighbor, because she wouldn't have been able to hear me anyway. We were in a building that had 40 floors. We were on the 32nd, and, you know, I was stuck on the balcony in a rainstorm, a thunderstorm. So, yeah, I'd say it's a 50, at least.
Well, you were tested quite a few times over the years, having three little boys, and often all to yourself. Nobody to use the wrestling reference to tag into the ring.
That's correct. My son's daddy always had a very good job, which allowed me to be able to stay home with my kids. So he traveled all the time and was home usually on the weekends, but otherwise wasn't. So Daniel's right. There was nobody to tag team with. And it would get hairy sometimes. In fact, it got so hairy one afternoon that Fisher Price says their toys are unbreakable. I'm here to tell you that the Fisher Price barn is breakable if thrown hard enough against a metal radiator, because I had had it up to my eyeballs with three little tiny boys just being little tiny boys. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which I call the dead time. We had done everything you could possibly do. It wasn't time to eat. It was too cold to go outside. So I was at my wit's end. I picked up the Fisher Price barn and I said, "Everybody be quiet." And I threw that Fisher Price barn against the radiator and that sucker broke. So be careful if you have any Fisher Price toys and you get in a bad mood and want to throw one, they will break.
Now, you're talking about this community. So we did as babies, and maybe that first year, however long that was, we lived in a high rise. But tell me about the community of Wilmette. I've got some select memories at that age, but when you think back, that community, that street, those friendships you had, talk a little bit about that.
Oh, it was a wonderful street. Wilmette is directly north of Chicago. It's the next suburb from Evanston, where Northwestern University is, and it's right on the lake. And we rented a farmhouse, but it was on a cobblestone street. There were sidewalks. I would sit on our front steps, and I had used my husband's 35 millimeter camera with the zoom lens and took so many pictures of my children playing with all the kids in the neighborhood. And there were lots of kids in the neighborhood. And one in particular, Mike Beltrano, was a little boy that lived down the street. He was older than my boys, but he would come and sit on the steps and talk with me, and he would take the boys for rides on his bicycle around the block, and they just absolutely loved that. But I had so many friends, and they had a best friend, Nikki Nelson, who lived across the street, and I had tons of girlfriends and just loved the life up there and wish that we could have stayed there, but things just, my husband got a better job, so we had to move, but I loved, absolutely loved Chicago and Wilmette.
And some of the noise that you hear around us is my two boys. And I know you were saying, my mother's been here two nights, and the first day, I think you were talking about the commotion and the noises and the children playing and often arguing, and it reminded you of these days that you're describing now. Were you imagining, even at that time when we were little, that there would be a time when you would have grandchildren, or that we'd be sitting in a setting like this?
At that time, I think I was so into what was going on in my life with three tiny little boys. But as they got older and started dating, then I started thinking about Someday they'll get married and give me grandchildren. So when I come to visit Dan, as y'all know him, but Daniel, as I call him, because that's what I named him. When I come to visit him, it brings back so many memories of the chaos and the noise and toys everywhere, of days of yore when Daniel was a young boy.
This is a most unusual and unplanned episode, and the setting that we're in the middle of my living room. My wife Natalie is walking in the door. We don't usually record right here, but here we are. I'm like a fish out of water. We've got rambunctious children, and but this is part of the fun and the spontaneity of this project. Mom, you know, I don't remember, obviously, being 3 and 4 years old and some of the ways that you were raising us and the corrective behavior and how the manners and stuff were falling into place, but you were putting those building blocks together way back then. What advice would you give to young parents that have children that are a year old, 2 and 3 and a half or 4, and it's just chaos, but you want them to be good people?
I would say if you have a one-year-old, begin discipline now. I would say begin discipline before they can walk. And the best thing that I ever did when mine misbehaved or did something that scared the daylights out of me, I would put their nose in the corner, because my oldest son one day crossed the street without my knowledge to go visit his best friend, Nikki Nelson. And I couldn't find Robert, and I was terrified. So when he finally sauntered back across the street and I saw him, and he came up the steps, came in the front door, and I grabbed his little arm and I took him in the dining room and I spanked him so hard with my hand that I had blood blisters on my fingers, and I felt terrible, but he had scared me so bad. And he turned around and looked at me and said, "Mommy, you can spank me as much as you want, but I'm not going to cry." So I said, "Okay, little man, you go stand and put your nose in that corner for 3 minutes, because he was 4 then. And, I mean, the screams that emitted from that child, people who were walking by would think he was being horsewhipped, but he just had his nose in the corner. And from that moment on, when he got threatened with getting his nose put in the corner, he minded. I mean, it did take me 45 minutes to get 4 straight minutes in the corner. So it took 45 minutes out of my day of things that I could do, but it worked. It worked. And from that point on, I used the corner for all 3. Now, the youngest one, Travis, I didn't have to punish him. I'm not saying Robert and Daniel were bad, but they were like normal little children. Travis was like, he was born a little old lady. And so he did little old lady things. He didn't do anything that would scare mommy. Like Daniel would jump off of anything that could be jumped. If he could climb it, no matter how high, he'd jump off. We had to buy bean bags to place under things that he could climb on so that when he jumped, he'd have something soft to land on. But using the threat of the nose in the corner was the best thing. But the point was, you must be consistent. And you must, no matter how long it takes to keep them in the corner, you got to keep them.
Yeah, that was wishful thinking on my part that we made it 19 minutes.
Whoa.
With a good bit of chatter, but before the first meltdown.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Well, Dan was one of the most, of the three children, I love all three equally, but he was the one that gave me the most laughs. Daniel.
And the most trouble.
No, you didn't give me a lot of trouble. Well, I mean, he jumped off of things and, you know, he was very daring and adventurous, but from the time he could crawl, he had a sense of humor and he would make me laugh so hard. And as he got older, I mean, he's made me laugh his entire life. And it's usually silly, idiotic, sophomoric stuff. But that's, at my age, I still love sophomoric, idiotic humor. I think it's the most fun because you can laugh till you cry. Because, I mean, idiotic, sophomoric humor, there's nothing better. There's nothing better. And I just learned that Inside Out 2, the voice of anger is Lewis Black. And I think it's very good because he rants. But I love Lewis Black humor. Ricky Gervais is one of my favorites because he says things everybody else thinks but don't have the nerve to say. And I just think he's the coolest thing in the world. But Daniel would have made a great stand-up comic. And I do have a wonderful picture that I did post on Facebook once. Daniel and his friend Jim came to my house once to replace a toilet. And so they took the old toilet out, put the new toilet in, and it was about 5 o'clock, and I lived on a busy road, and it was rush hour. And they put the old toilet up on the street. And Daniel, in his clothes, sat on the toilet with a newspaper in his hands while his good friend Jim Powell took a picture. And it's one of my favorite pictures. I just love it. With the cars going by and Daniel sitting on the toilet reading the paper. I mean, it's not highbrow humor. It's not intellectual humor, but it's funny.
We, I'm going to have to ask Jim about this because it was a little over 10 years ago, but we were carrying the old toilet up to the road, and I can't say if it was his idea or my idea, but we're usually on the same wavelength, and I feel like it was something that he came up with.
Jim.
And maybe wasn't sure that I would do it.
But you absolutely would do it.
Anyway, well, it is, it's funny where you recognize certain traits in your children, and I can see them, it's like a clear divide with all three of them. They're all three, well, I don't know about entirely different, Warren, Wyatt, and Vivian. Vivian kind of fits the bill, kind of aligns with Travis, how you're describing Travis. She does what she's told.
Yeah.
She likes instruction and order and, okay, we're going this way, Vivian, and she'll follow you.
And Wyatt's more like you. And Warren's more like Robert.
Yeah.
Why it is, well, I want to be careful of the things I say because they may hear this in 15 years, but.
As Grandmother Weekly would say, why it's a cutter. That's an old saying, mean he'll do anything.
But I really like having a special bond with all three of them, and I'm so happy that I have three children like you had three children. How about the times, because we've talked about it this weekend and you've seen firsthand when I've been under duress, and another maybe piece of advice, what would you give to people who maybe their partner is there with them all the time and maybe they're alone with two or three or just one baby? I mean, that's hard enough sometimes, but when you just don't think you can take it anymore. I know you described the years will just, they'll go by, and before long, you won't, all of a sudden, you won't have this host of problems anymore, but right. What would you say?
I would say the best thing I ever did was have a routine. Eat at a certain time every day. Lunch and supper especially. But sit down with your children and eat with them and talk with them and have a conversation. We lived once in a rented condo. We had just moved to Virginia, and it was right before Christmas, and all of our things were in storage because we had bought a house, but it wasn't ready to move into. So we went out and bought a Christmas tree, and the Christmas tree was 7 feet tall, and it wouldn't fit in our condo. So Daniel's daddy decided he would take maybe a couple of inches off. So he took the saw, and when it wound up, we had a 4 foot tall Christmas tree. We paid for a 7 foot, but we had a 4 foot. But anyway, we had to go out and buy all ornaments that weren't ours. And nothing in that condo was ours. The furniture wasn't ours. Nothing was ours. And it was, I was sad because my husband was traveling and I was alone with the kids and nothing was mine in the condo except my children. And the Christmas decorations were all brand new, and we had, my husband and I had been buying decorations, and we also had decorations the boys had made that we had used every year. And so this year was very different. And I would say that having order and a routine and making sure your children know that you love them, but you're the authority. And if you say no, they have to mind. And if they don't, that little nose goes in the corner or whatever works for you. But a routine helps because then they know when it's time to go to bed, when it's time to eat, and it kind of gives the parent who's there with the children comfort in knowing at 8 o'clock everybody's in bed, mommy or daddy can now go sit down in peace. And if one of the little ones comes out, you send them back to bed. And I used to tell mine, if you can't go to sleep, you've got books in your room, you've got toys in your room, you can play as long as you want, but you can't come back out because this is my time or this is mommy and daddy's time. And once I had a really frazzled day and I needed a drink after the boys went to bed. And my husband always kept vodka in the refrigerator before he learned to put it in the freezer. Well, there was a bottle of vodka in the refrigerator. So I thought, I'm going to fix myself a drink. So I made myself a really strong drink of vodka and tonic. Sat down, drank that. Oh, I felt so much better. And then when my husband came home, he said, gosh, all the water's gone out of the vodka bottle. I said, what? He said, yeah, I just put water in an empty vodka bottle. So psychologically, I was thinking that I was getting relaxed from the vodka when it was actually water, but it was like a
sugar pill.
Yes, it was like a placebo, but it worked. It relaxed me.
How about, this is a different time as far as technology, that we don't have flat screens, we don't have mobile phones. There's not all these gadgets to occupy your little children with. I guess that, you know, if I ask, well, how was that? That you didn't know any other way, but you reflexively just want to put out a fire with putting a phone or a tablet in front of your children so they'll be quiet in a restaurant, or they'll settle down at the house so you can load the dishwasher. Knowing what you know now, do you wish that you had some of this technology back then to keep us quiet, or are you glad that you didn't?
I didn't need it because I started with mine very young, so that I was able to keep them entertained. They played outside every day. I made sure they were worn out, absolutely worn out, and they knew what time bedtime was, and they all three slept in the same room, gosh, from the time they were born until they were probably, till the oldest was probably seven, they slept in the same room. So I think if you start young enough with your children, I mean, I'm talking about crawling ones, when they're 8 or 9 or 10 months old, they're old enough to learn what they can do and what they can't do. And you have to start early with discipline. And if you can get them disciplined and know that you're the alpha in the house and that what you say goes, then things work out better. So I didn't need things to distract them with. I just kept them outside all day. All day.
And then there's something about that, the bath after they've been playing hard all day.
Yes.
That gets them conditioned for bedtime.
Yes, yes. And it probably wasn't the cleanest way to bathe them, but I put them all three in the bathtub at the same time and let them play in the bathtub. But I always sat because I was afraid that they'd fall or get hurt. So I would just sit in the bathroom with them and usually be reading a book or talking with them, but let them play in the bathtub as long as they wanted to. And then they knew that it was time to get their jammies on, and we'd read a book. And sometimes, and I hate to say this, I would grudgingly read a second book because I would be so tired. Okay, you want to read The Grinch? Okay. So, you know, I would grudgingly read the second book, but I guess the long and short of it is just, if you can exercise control over your children, I felt bad when they cried, but they have to learn that when you put a baby to bed, they can cry for 10 minutes. And it's okay, because they have to learn. It's a new thing that they're learning, just like learning to eat with a fork or a spoon, or learning to walk. It's just something new. So, you know, just having some sort of semblance of routine and just makes life easier and kept the stress level down. Yeah.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to the Dan Time Podcast. Hope you're enjoying this conversation with my mom, Janie Wigley. Part two coming right up. You can email me at dantimepod@gmail.com or follow the show on social media at dantimepod.
My name is Wyatt.